Welcome to Sarah Health Radio with Dr. Sarah Rosenthal. All comments, views, and opinions expressed are solely those of the host, guest, and callers. In the next hour, Dr. Rosenthal and her guests cover both the common and the not-so-common health issues you want and need to know. Get your pencils ready. Here's your host, Dr. Sarah Rosenthal.
Hello, welcome to Sarah Health with Dr. Sarah Rosenthal, the program that reminds anyone coping with health problems we are not alone. The goal of this program is to discuss both common and not so common health issues with the experts who really know what they're talking about. I'm Dr. Sarah Rosenthal, your host. I have a long career as a medical journalist and am the author of over 30 consumer health books. I have a PhD in medical ethics and medical sociology and direct the program for bioethics and patients' rights at the University of Kentucky. Today we are devoting our show to the subject of preventing menopause and eventual ovarian failure. My guest today is Beth Rosenshein, author of Preventing Menopause, How to Stop Menopause Before It Starts, and founder of the website preventingmenopause.com. So Beth, welcome.
Well, thank you, Sarah.
I guess the best place to start is at the beginning. Tell me what led you to write this book and some of your thoughts on menopause and postmenopause.
Well, this has been a journey for me. I never really set out to write this book because I thought that menopause would occur for me, like for every other woman, and that I would be able to handle it. It looked like it was something I could work with. I would take HRT when I was older, and I would expect that the quality of my life would continue as it had when I was premenopausal. But that's not what happened. What happened was when I was about 43 years old, I started feeling very, very poorly, and I didn't know what was happening, and I thought, well, maybe I'm just under the weather. And then I realized that I wasn't able to make love to my husband, and I thought, whoa, this is not usual, and this went on for months.
In other words, just for our listeners to understand, you what you mean and what you say in your book's introduction is that you had very low libido.
Like very
just couldn't get there, is that what you mean?
No libido, which is very unusual for me. We had a wonderful, wonderful intimate life, and this was a very unusual event. This had never occurred before, and that, in combination with not feeling well, I thought something was very seriously wrong. I was uneducated about menopause, so I didn't know what was happening. So I went to my gynecologist, and I said, you know, I was very concerned, and she ran a series of tests, and she said, well, one of two things were happening. Either my ovaries were resting, or meaning that sometimes they work, sometimes they didn't, or I had complete ovarian failure. And then I said to her, does this mean this is menopause? And she said, yes. And I said, well, I can't live this way. And she said, well, here's an estradiol patch, which I didn't know what that was. And she gave me some testosterone to improve my sexual response. So I went home and I used the patch, and it worked. And I was feeling much better. And then a couple of days later, I wasn't feeling good anymore. I was feeling terrible again. So I thought, well, this was just devastating. I needed to get my life back. I needed to live my life. So I went to the bookstore and I bought a number of books on menopause. I needed to know what was happening and what was normal about this. So I read these books and I realized I wasn't getting the answers that I was looking for.
What specifically was the content you were hoping to find that were not in the other books?
Oh, well, that, okay, well, you can take this and you'll be fine. You know, that ovarian failure was that simple, and it's because, you know, at the time I thought it's normal, it's natural, it happens to every woman, and it's just a little bump in the road. But I found it a sinkhole. It was not a bump in the road. I felt like a withering flower and my roots weren't getting enough water. I was not blooming. I wasn't doing anything that they said I was supposed to be doing. I was only noticing very, very ill effects from how I was feeling, and I just didn't feel that this was a way that I wanted to grow old. This was not something I was willing to accept, certainly not something I was willing to embrace.
Right, right. And, you know, I guess part of what you're suggesting, too, is that that there's a sense from all of the menopause material that this is something that's normal. We should all expect this. And it sounds like this was something that you found unacceptable.
Completely unacceptable and unnecessary. And that's what I've realized since delving into research on this. I needed to find out how it ever became to even be realized as normal and natural and it should be accepted. So that's when I started diving into the medical journals and the medical studies and really learning about ovarian function and is it normal for it to fail? Is it normal for women to live their lives without their ovaries? Are they really healthier? Is it okay to do that? And the answers I came up with was no. Women are much healthier with ovarian function. And what I also discovered along the way was that it's unnecessary, that the failure of the ovaries is unnecessary. The ovaries are an organ like any other organ, and it just needs raw materials to function. And as a woman grows older, there's less and less of these raw materials. And if we were to give back these raw materials, then the ovaries could last decades longer. And I think that that should be an option given to a woman, particularly since the ill effects are so well documented.
So for example, a lot of what you talk about on your website and in your book is sort of the sense that ovarian failure, we accept women, that is, accept it as an eventuality. But why does that have to be the case? You're sort of raising the question, why? Why do we have to accept ovarian failure? We don't accept a lot of other things that we correct, like poor vision.
Exactly.
We give ourselves hearing aids when we can't hear anymore. So this is sort of going more from correcting ovarian, and I guess where I'm sort of headed is that I think the distinction between what you advocate for and what you often see with respect to menopause treatment is that you're not convinced that we should wait until the ovaries give up and then treat it.
Right.
Maybe there's a prophylactic therapy that can prevent the failure to begin with.
Right.
Is that sort of where you're coming from?
Exactly. It's exactly that. I mean, I think that we need to think in terms of keeping all of our organs intact for as long as possible, which is what we do with our teeth, what we do with our eyes, any other illness. We try to maintain the function of whatever organ that is for as long as possible. And I think that we should start realizing, and this is what I realized when I read all these medical studies, that ovaries are not trivial organs. They are important organs that positively influence all of the other organs in our body, and that there's no reason to allow this organ to fail. There's no benefit to it.
And what are some of the, let's delve into, you know, what are the consequences of ovarian failure health-wise?
Well, health-wise, I can say this from personal experience. And also, there's much documentation on this. There's a 30-fold increase in breast cancer as women grow older. Once the ovaries have failed, the incidence of breast cancer goes up dramatically. There's an acceleration of all different areas of heart disease. There's an acceleration of that heart disease. So women are at a very much increased risk of heart disease. The skin starts to change. The brain changes. The thinking.
So you mean somebody could give me back my nouns after?
Well, you know, the thinking processes are very important. And this is something, too, that I think is important. I think that women are at a significant disadvantage because of all the ill effects of menopause.
I'm sorry to jump in.
Sure.
All of this is because of drops in estrogen, then?
Estrogen, testosterone, and progesterone. The ovaries, believe it or not, make a fair amount of testosterone as well. And even though we think of it as just a male hormone, it is actually a very important hormone to a woman's physiology. And women's bodies make quite a bit of testosterone. So it needs to be included in that mix if we're talking about ovarian failure and restoring ovarian function.
Okay.
And when we think about all these ill effects, what we're talking about is not just the loss of estrogen, but the balance that estrogen has with the testosterone and with the progesterone. So it isn't just one hormone. It's the environment that the ovaries create, and it's that balance that gives us these health benefits. So when the ovaries fail, there are significant health risks, particularly in sexual function. And that is something that women understand who have gone through ovarian failure, but women don't understand who are premenopausal because we're not being honest with them. And if we were being honest, they would know what to expect. And if they knew what to expect, they would expect to be treated so that that wouldn't happen, so that they would have a better quality of life after ovarian failure. But what I'm advocating is preventing menopause completely. I would like to see women given the option to extend the functional life of their ovaries, as well as recreating the ovarian hormonal environment for women that have already suffered ovarian failure so closely that they will feel they're experiencing ovarian function and all the health benefits that go with it.
So when we're talking about, so what ages of women would be the best candidates for trying to stop menopause before it starts? When do we start looking at that question?
Well, it would be around ages 25 to 30. And a good way to even get women interested in knowing about this is telling our children when, you know, because I have children, the school-age children, and they go through health education courses, and they're told all about their puberty. If they're told then to take care of their ovaries as they grow older, then they'll know, go to their healthcare provider as they grow older, check the function of their ovaries, and then they'll have it in their mindset, yes, as I grow older, I need to take care of my ovaries. So the answer to that is it would be approximately 25 to 30 years old would be optimal to go and get your ovaries evaluated and then start receiving treatment so that you can extend the function of your ovaries.
Okay, we're going to take a break now. My guest is Beth Rosenshine, author of Preventing Menopause, How to Stop Menopause Before It Starts. For more information on preventing menopause, we suggest starting with this book, and you can visit the author's website at preventingmenopause.com. When we come back, we'll talk more about how menopause is currently treated and why it should change and how we can extend the function of our ovaries. I'm Dr. Sarah Rosenthal, your host. For further information, visit me online at sarahhealth.com. All shows are archived on our site, as well as at Voice America Health and Wellness Network at voiceamerica.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Your Health Press is a publishing company that specializes in unique books and hard-to-find health products, topics that mainstream publishers ignore due to rarity, stigma, or controversy. Looking for books on thyroid cancer, early menopause, ostomy, or other rare or embarrassing conditions? You'll find lots of unique topics at yourhealthpress.com. At yourhealthpress.com, all of our books are available exclusively online or via toll-free ordering, so you can purchase in privacy. No cash register syndrome or special ordering from your bookstore or library. Your Health Press titles are available at all online bookstores, including Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. To browse the Your Health Press catalog of titles, search the list of authors, or purchase, visit YourHealthPress.com. For toll-free ordering, call 1-888-232-4444. Your Health Press, prescribed reading for today's niche market.
Your life, your health, your network. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Every Monday from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific Time, tune in to hear Healing with Pat Honeyotis. Pat will interview authors and experts in the field of alternative and traditional medicine and discuss current issues. Accurate information will be provided, beliefs and practices will be shared, and listener questions will be answered. This show is about helping educate listeners to become empowered so that they can make informed choices regarding their physical, spiritual, and emotional health. So tune in to hear Healing with Pat Honeyotis and learn more about your healthcare options. Only on the world's elite health station, your life, your health, your network, Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hi, this is Mark Victor Hansen. You know me for Chicken Soup for the Soul, the 1 Minute Millionaire, and Cracking the Millionaire Code. And what I want you to know is that if you want to have rip-roaringly good health, listen to Health Crusades by my friend John Farley.
Tune in to Health Crusades with John Farley every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Voice America Health and Wellness. Tune in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for Sex on a Wednesday Afternoon with Sierra Gunn. Sex on a Wednesday Afternoon is an entertaining and enlightening look at sex, its joys, and its many challenges. With its focus on the causes and effects of sexual dysfunction, Sex on a Wednesday Afternoon explores such related topics as infertility, menopause, sexual enhancement drugs, and their natural alternatives. Listeners are invited to call in and ask questions, relate their experiences, and give their opinions to the host, her guests, and to the medical doctors co-hosting the show. With tens of millions of people worldwide affected by loss of libido, and with 30 million adult American men suffering from some form of erectile dysfunction, this show offers important information and, most of all, hope. It is the aspiration of this program to assist men and women with definitive sexual challenges in their search for empathy, peace of mind, and possible solutions to their problems. So tune in every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for Sex on a Wednesday Afternoon with Sierra Gunn on Your Health, Your Life, Your Network, Voice America Health and Wellness.
We all want to improve the environment, but not all of us are willing to make radical changes in our lifestyle to help. If you're one of the millions of people who want to change the world without changing your life, tune in to Voice America Health and Wellness every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time for The Lazy Environmentalist with Josh Dorfman. The Lazy Environmentalist is about easily and effortlessly greening our modern lifestyles without ever sacrificing style. Host Josh Dorfman will bring together designers, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who are rapidly making the modern green lifestyle a reality. So help your world and help yourself by listening to The Lazy Environmentalist with Josh Dorfman every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness. It's your right and sole purpose to live a joyful life of abundant love, health, and prosperity. Be Positive with Nurse Crilly will introduce you to the idea of a positive outlook and how it impacts every aspect of your life, your mind, your body, and your spirit. Each show will look at some aspect of life that is less than satisfying and how you can make it better by challenging and changing your thoughts, your core beliefs, and your feelings. It is possible for you to get out of a negative cycle of being and get into a positive cycle of being. You are invited to take a positively enlightening journey with Be Positive and Nurse Crilly every Tuesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness. It's good for what ails you.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome back to Sarah Health Radio with Dr. Sarah Rosenthal. If you have a question or comment, dial toll-free 1-866-369-3742. Now back to the show. Here's Dr. Sarah.
Hello, we are back. I'm Dr. Sarah Rosenthal, your host. Welcome back to Sarah Health and our discussion of preventing menopause with author and preventing menopause activist Beth Rosenshine. So when we left off, we were talking about how we were basically talking about optimal candidates and optimal ages for extending the life of ovaries. So in other words, these would be women who would literally be able to stop menopause before it had a chance to stop them.
Right.
And I guess my, you know, we've done, we have done a show actually on the whole notion of early menopause and how tragic that can be, and it can actually occur to a lot of women in their mid-30s. So I guess my probing question is, you know, if the average age of menopause is sort of in the late 40s, you know, right through to the mid-50s, would 25 years old be a little young to start actually looking at this, or does your research suggest that it is not?
Oh, no, it is the exact age to start looking at it. Like any other thing, you know, we tell our, when we're in our 20s and 30s, we start thinking about heart disease. We're going to exercise. We're going to eat right. We're going to keep
correct.
Our weight down.
Right.
So it's the same thing. We're doing what we can to keep our ovaries intact because we know ahead of time. If we don't do this now, we will suffer the consequences later. And that's the importance of education and information. And so that way, you know, younger women have that opportunity that they don't have now.
Okay, so let's
let's imagine, okay, so in our current universe, our current world, mm-hmm. Let's talk about how menopause is currently treated, and then in your ideal universe, how mm-hmm. menopause ought to be treated and how our whole paradigm should be shifting regarding mm-hmm. this. Maybe you can speak to that.
Well, I definitely think that a cultural shift is definitely necessary for this to happen. What I would like to see is menopause prevented. And as I said earlier, it should be prevented either by allowing the ovaries to continue to function decades longer than they're functioning now, or the if a woman has already suffered ovarian failure, to recreate the hormonal environment that the ovaries once produced as closely as possible so that a woman would enjoy the health benefits of ovarian function, even though her ovaries have already failed.
So we're not, so when we're treating women right now for mm-hmm. Failed ovaries, what are we doing that's wrong at this point in time? So we're not creating the environment as it should be. We're doing something else. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And I get this question all the time. I've been on HRT. I went off HRT. It's very, very unfortunate that the standard treatment for menopause, for menopausal symptoms, is called hormone replacement therapy. It's a catchy little phrase, and it sounds good, and it's something that everybody wants for it to be. They would like it to be simple and a one-size-fits-all, and you just take these pills, and you're good as new. But the reality is that's not going to happen. And what it is, it's like looking at, I want to create a picture, a whole picture, and I want to create the ovarian hormonal balance to fill this whole picture. What HRT does, or current treatments for menopause, is only to fill in a few spots. It only touches on a few symptoms. And because it creates a hormonal balance that the body has never seen before, not before menopause, and certainly not after ovarian failure, it's something new that the body has to work with. And it's not something the body works well with. And that's why you have the ill effects of it.
Okay, so the ill effects of our current menopausal treatments are what?
Unfortunately, an increase in blood clots. It causes the liver to work in a way that it doesn't normally work. It creates this hormonal environment that's very unusual for the woman, so it will not increase libido, which is one of the biggest disappointments. It has very high estrogen levels, which is not good because it's not balanced in a way that it should be. It causes very low testosterone levels, and it doesn't improve sleep. It doesn't improve libido. It will do. It will work for hot flashes, and it will improve vaginal dryness. But you know, after those two things are solved, it doesn't solve any other problems. It's simply a Band-Aid.
And what's the point of having and vaginal dryness can be solved, but what's the point if there's no libido?
Exactly. Which is, I think, a cultural issue because,
yeah.
You know, women are encouraged to engage in sexual activity, but the acknowledgement of the physical component of that is ignored, and I think that's a problem.
So basically what we're doing now, what are the hormones, what's the standard issue HRT that most women are going to get when they go to their doctors?
Well, usually it's an oral estrogen, meaning you get estrogen in a pill, and you'll also get probably a progestin in a pill. And probably it will not be bioidentical. And I think that bioidentical is very important. You know, you hear a lot about it in the news. You know, it doesn't... You know, does it really make a difference? And
it really does. Could you maybe just backtrack and define mm-hmm. bioidentical hormones for our listeners?
Oh, sure. A bioidentical hormone is a hormone that's been manufactured to be the exact chemical replica of the hormone that your body once produced. So this is the exact shape of the molecule that has come from the ovaries originally in your body, but it's manufactured in a laboratory. And the importance of that is that the human body has receptors that accept these hormones, and the way those hormones are shaped is how you'll get a particular response from those hormones. So the closer it is to the actual human hormone, the more predictable the response is. So the balance of ovarian hormones that a woman gets, say, premenopausally, helps her sleep, helps you know, helps her stay asleep and have restful sleep. But if you use synthetic hormones, you're not necessarily going to get that benefit. I've read studies where bioidentical hormones have been used, and that benefit is shown. So there really is a difference in bioidentical. And HRT, again, is just oral estrogen, typically an oral estrogen and an oral progestin. And unfortunately, it reduces, both of those can reduce testosterone levels to levels that are so low that a woman would normally experience that in her lifetime.
So I think a lot of people confuse bioidentical hormones with natural progesterone or botanically based progesterone. So you're basically saying no. It's a completely different. What you're talking about, something that's sort of factory made, exactly the way your body would have wanted it served up.
Exactly.
versus when you see information on quote natural hormones or natural progesterone, that's talking about progesterone coming from a natural plant source.
Well, it really.
Sorry, you go ahead.
Well, it really doesn't matter the source of the progesterone. What matters is what the body does with it once that molecule is inside the body, and whether it comes from a yam or any other plant source. What really matters is what is the shape of that molecule. And, you know, it sounds better and it feels a little bit more comforting to say, well, it comes from a plant source, but whether it comes from plant source or it's made in a laboratory, what is most important is the shape of that molecule and what it does once it gets inside the body. And progesterone, when you call it natural, it would be more accurate to call it bioidentical. So that you know exactly what it is. If it doesn't say bioidentical, you really don't know what exactly it is.
I see. Okay. Now, so basically what most women are getting is something that is not bioidentical, and it has a lot of health effects. If women are already in ovarian failure and they're already postmenopausal, they can restore restore ovarian function or just restore the feeling that they had when their ovaries were functioning with bioidentical hormones?
Oh, you can't resurrect an ovary.
Okay, once the ovary has failed, then all you can do is try to recreate the environment you once had with outside help.
Right.
Through bioidentical hormones. But if... But when we're talking about preventing menopause and extending the life of the ovaries, which maybe we'll get into in the next segment, that's a different story. And are we talking about the use of hormonal therapy in that case? Or
there are different hormones, yes, that you would want to give the ovaries to help them function so they function at their best, and then it would take them longer to fail.
Where are you in the process then? So you personally, when you started to notice a decline of your, you know, sort of the way you normally feel and the way you normally function. Were you in fact considered? Have had your ovaries failed yet, or were they about to fail?
Well, it's interesting you should say that, because one of the tests my doctors ran was a test to see how close I was to failing. And even though the ovaries weren't that close to failing, they weren't producing any hormones. That's why she said they were resting.
Resting.
But at this point, resting means periods of they function and during periods that they wouldn't function.
Right.
I was in a period they weren't functioning, which is identical to menopause. And so I would say now that I am postmenopausal, though I do use a balance. I use physiologic replacement of my ovarian hormones, and I would say that I'm 80% back to where I was before. And I think that I could get even closer with better products. And that's one of the things that I advocate, is an improvement of the products that are currently on the market, because it can get a little bit complicated, the dosing schedules, with the types of products we have. But I think that with better products, it would become much easier for women to replace the function of their ovaries.
So what began... We're gonna take a break now. My guest is Beth Rosenshine, author of Preventing Menopause, How to Stop Menopause Before It Starts. For more information on preventing menopause, we suggest starting with this book, and you can visit the author's website, preventingmenopause.com. When we come back, we'll talk about the treatment that maintains ovarian function and find out more about how we can get a doctor to agree to do that for us. I'm Dr. Sarah Rosenthal, your host. For further information, visit me online at sarahhealth.com. All shows are archived on our site, as well as at Voice America Health and Wellness Network at voiceamerica.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Your Health Press is a publishing company that specializes in unique books and hard-to-find health products, topics that mainstream publishers ignore due to rarity, stigma, or controversy. Looking for books on thyroid cancer, early menopause, ostomy, or other rare or embarrassing conditions? You'll find lots of unique topics at yourhealthpress.com. At yourhealthpress.com, all of our books are available exclusively online or via toll-free ordering, so you can purchase in privacy. No cash register syndrome or special ordering from your bookstore or library. Your Health Press titles are available at all online bookstores, including Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. To browse the Your Health Press catalog of titles, search the list of authors, or purchase, visit yourhealthpress.com. For toll-free ordering, call 1-888-232-4444. Your Health Press, prescribed reading for today's niche market.
Your life, your health, your network. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome back to Sarah Health Radio with Dr. Sarah Rosenthal. If you have a question or comment, dial toll-free 1-866-369-3742. Now back to the show. Here's Dr. Sarah.
Hello, we are back. I'm Dr. Sarah Rosenthal, your host. Welcome back to Sarah Health and our discussion of preventing menopause with author and preventing menopause activist, Beth Rosenshine. So, Beth, before we, when we left off before, we were just about to get into we were talking about the treatments that we do now they're not optimal, and sort of how to make our treatments better. But in addition to that, let's maybe backtrack and talk about what is it that women can do to extend the life of their ovaries before they fail.
Well, they first have to understand that the ovaries are an organ that needs certain things to function well. And if the ovaries, like any of our organs, don't get everything that they need, then the ovaries will start to work a little harder, and then they'll eventually fail. So what women can do initially is, it optimally, 25 to 30 years old, that you can do this older if your ovaries haven't failed, but you'll get a longer time out of your ovaries if you start earlier. You can get your ovaries evaluated, and I discuss it in my book, Preventing Menopause, which values of which types of hormones you'll want to look at and how you can replace what your body isn't naturally making any longer. So that would be testosterone and something called inhibin.
Inhibin. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So essentially it sounds like what you sort of have to do is this is very individualized.
Yes.
So you have to basically be on top of sort of where you are, and it's not unlike adjusting blood sugar levels. Like, for example, you'll never find a diabetes book that's going to give you one recipe for how to manage diabetes.
Absolutely.
Because there is no one recipe. Everybody has, you know, is on sort of different regimens. So similarly, this has to be something that that you look at sort of individual to individual. And then the magic question is, who's going to look at this with you? Who is going to partner with you in getting you back in menopause prevention? Who is the menopause prevention practitioner?
Well, I think you're right. The optimal specialty, and this is one that I recommend in my book, is something called an ovarian specialist. And this is somebody who would dedicate their career to helping women maintain and take care of their ovaries.
Who we should remind the listeners does not exist yet. This is just your ideal. This is what ought to happen, but it hasn't happened. It does not take place yet.
That's true. That's true. Absolutely true. And this would be a specialty that would be a mix of an endocrinologist and a gynecologist. And mixing those two specialties would bring knowledge to the table about how important the ovaries are and how to take care of them.
So what about a reproductive endocrinologist? Could that type of individual serve, or that type of professional serve in this capacity?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. A person that understands ovarian function the best actually would be a reproductive endocrinologist. And that is what you're looking for, somebody who understands and appreciates the importance of the ovaries and how to take care of them. And actually, a reproductive endocrinologist is a good person because they are familiar with ultrasound technology, which is something that you would need to do periodically, and that's to get ultrasounds to help measure the volume of your ovaries to see. That's just one of the things that you'll need to look at to evaluate how your ovaries are doing, as well as blood tests. So yes, I think that's a great specialty for that.
So what you envision then is a woman in her late 20s, early 30s goes for her, you know, her well woman exam or her annual exam,
mm-hmm.
and part of this exam would be, okay, so let's see where we are on your ovarian time clock and whether we need to offer you some intervention to keep
mm-hmm.
them where they are. Is
mm-hmm.
is that kind of what more what you're envisioning?
That's exactly what I'm envisioning.
And right now what happens is women go to their doctors and it's like, ooh, well, you know what, if you want to have a baby, you better hurry up.
Right.
And
right.
you know, this is your window,
mm-hmm.
and you know, these are the symptoms to expect when
mm-hmm.
your ovaries start to fail or ovaries start to fail, and then this is what we're going to give you
mm-hmm.
to help with those symptoms.
Right.
And so that's what's going on now, but that's
mm-hmm.
but you're sort of saying this is all wrong. Why are we doing it this way? It's crazy.
Well, I think it is crazy. I think it creates an unhealthy disruption. It's a career disruption. I mean, I have people email me all the time, how am I supposed to run a courtroom if I have hot flashes? You know, I have, you know, it's an unnecessary disruption to family life, to career, and to a person's health.
So okay, so then basically what would happen is to maintain ovarian function, I think you had mentioned this earlier, but if you can just remind us, what are the hormones involved? It would be a little bit of testosterone, a little bit of inhibin,
mm-hmm.
certain kinds of estrogen, and it would just be a little cocktail that you mix up
yes.
per individual, and that would also get altered as the individual ages.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
You would go in periodically, you would get reevaluated, might get an ultrasound to see how well your cocktail is working, because you would get feedback on how well the ovaries are responding, and absolutely. And it would just be a periodic check-in to make sure that you're keeping your ovaries as healthy as possible. I think that's very reasonable.
Now, this is what's interesting about, I think what's really fascinating and so provocative about your book and the research you've done is that now that it's you help us shift the paradigm in terms of how we should be looking at menopause and ovarian function.
Mm-hmm.
But then once we sort of are there and shift, there's going to be likely a lot of sort of social and maybe even ethical questions that would be raised around, okay, well, so now that we have, I mean, conceivably, if the first generation of women were able to do this, and maybe they're able to do it sooner than we think,
mm-hmm.
What would that generation of women look like at the ages of 50 or 60? Would they still be having children? Would their fertility be extended? How would this change their social world? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think their social world will remain intact. I think that menopause definitely disrupts a person's social world. As far as fertility goes, well, let me go to career first. I think a career would definitely be positively impacted with continued ovarian function.
Mm-hmm.
But fertility, though, this is not necessarily about extending fertility, because remember, ovaries are endocrine organs and reproductive organs. And if it should come to pass that fertility is extended, then woman would have to use birth control as responsibly as she uses it in her youth. Now, there are lots of forms of permanent birth control that are available and extremely effective. There are also very effective forms of other types of birth control. So if this is the case, then this is something a woman does need to consider. And remember, if you go in and actively receive treatment to extend the function of your ovaries, there is an opportunity there for you to talk to your healthcare provider and your healthcare provider to make sure that you understand that you are still responsible for your fertility. Now, will women be having babies at an older age? I seriously doubt it. That has never been expressed to me that somebody is interested in having a baby at a later age.
They just want to feel the same, but yes, they don't necessarily want to start having babies at 50 and 60. That's your sense of it. What about women that are delaying? We had another show where we were talking about, you know, the main causes of infertility, which are social, because women are just delaying childbirth for social reasons. How would a culture in which we're preventing menopause in women, would that have any impact? Because then they'd be able to buy some more time, or?
Well, I think that they would be able to buy some more time. I don't envision that women would be having babies past the age of 50, but if women could easily postpone childbirth until, you know, between 40 and 50 and do it easily, I think that that would be a welcome change to the way things are now. And I also think that helping the ovaries work the best that they can, potentially, and I cannot give you a definite on this, potentially we could reduce the risk of birth defects, perhaps, and that to me is an intriguing outcome from all of this. But I'm sorry.
We're gonna have to take a break now. Mm-hmm. My guest is Beth Rosenshine, author of Preventing Menopause: How to Stop Menopause Before It Starts. For more information on preventing menopause, we suggest starting with this book, and you can visit the author's website, preventingmenopause.com. When we come back, we'll talk more about advocating for the prevention of menopause. What sort of products do we need? What kind of research do we need? And what kinds of emails and information is Beth obtaining on her website? I'm Dr. Sarah Rosenthal, your host. For further information, visit me online at sarahhealth.com. All shows are archived on our site, as well as at Voice America Health and Wellness Network at voiceamerica.com. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Your Health Press is a publishing company that specializes in unique books and hard-to-find health products, topics that mainstream publishers ignore due to rarity, stigma, or controversy. Looking for books on thyroid cancer, early menopause, ostomy, or other rare or embarrassing conditions? You'll find lots of unique topics at yourhealthpress.com. At yourhealthpress.com, all of our books are available exclusively online or via toll-free ordering, so you can purchase in privacy. No cash register syndrome or special ordering from your bookstore or library. Your Health Press titles are available at all online bookstores, including Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. To browse the Your Health Press catalog of titles, search the list of authors, or purchase, visit YourHealthPress.com. For toll-free ordering, call 1-888-232-4444. Your Health Press, prescribed reading for today's niche market.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Have you ever wondered where diseases come from or why you have gotten sick? Imagine one day in the future you will be able to discover from a small sample of your blood whether you're at risk for cardiovascular disease, osteoporosis, cancer, or other chronic diseases. That may be much sooner than you think. Tune in to Voice America Health and Wellness every Wednesday at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Integrative Medicine with Dr. Joe Veltman. You will learn about traditional and non-traditional healing modalities used in integrative medicine, as well as suggestions on how to improve your health and how you can co-create a healing environment with your healthcare professional. So get in touch with your health and listen to Integrative Medicine with Dr. Joe Veltman, Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Growing Up in America explores the challenges, risks, benefits, and differences this generation of children face each day. Hosted by veteran pediatric emergency physician and father of four, Dr. Charles Nzeka, this show is for parents, teens, and children. It crosses each generation. By exploring the unique aspects of matriculation within this current generation, we hope to find answers and ways of optimizing this experience for today's generation. Growing Up in America with Dr. Charles Nzeka broadcasts each Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
When you combine energy secrets from ancient China and the latest breakthroughs in medicinal science, you get Power Healing with Dr. Shah. Heard every Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Health and Wellness. Each week, Dr. Shaw will bring you another step closer to the expanding world of body space medicine. You will quickly learn and appreciate how power healing is a perfect alternative to hospitals and expensive drugs. Take a step beyond modern medicine every Friday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time with Dr. Shaw on Power Healing, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Mental illness will touch 50% of us, either personally, in a loved one, family member, or close friend. The recognizable lexicon of disorders includes depression, anxiety, brain injury, bipolar disorder, attention deficit disorder, and schizophrenia. But what does it all mean? On Psychiatry, Ask the Expert, hosted by Dr. Neil Kay, Dr. Kay explores the inner workings of the brain and mind. From proper diagnosis to treatment of the behavioral, cognitive, and emotional aspects of mental illness, renowned board-certified psychiatrist and mental health expert Dr. Kay addresses these issues of the most common illnesses facing us in today's fast-paced, stress-filled, challenging world. Psychiatry Ask the Expert broadcasts each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Tired of life working out the exact same no matter how much you try to change it? It's time to get a new perspective. Perspectives, Alternatives for Living Life Better, with host Margie Sugarman, clears the cobwebs of confusion and offers practical solutions to life's issues. Broadcasting every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel, clinical social worker and psychotherapist Margie Sugarman is here so you can make the right physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual choices for your life. Right here on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome back to Sarah Health Radio with Dr. Sarah Rosenthal. If you have a question or comment, dial toll-free 1-866-369-3742. Now back to the show. Here's Dr. Sarah.
Hello, we are back. I'm Dr. Sarah Rosenthal, your host. Welcome back to Sarah Health and our discussion of preventing menopause with author and preventing menopause activist Beth Rosenshine. So, Beth, we were just before the break talking about what would the world look like with the first generation of women who successfully prevented their menopause. And I guess this sort of leads us into there's obviously going to be, this would be an area that demands a huge amount of research because it would be sort of research in all areas. So what maybe you can talk a little bit about what you advocate for, what type of research do you want to see, and where do we need to be in terms of research and product development and all of these things in order to in order to make the future of menopause prevention a reality?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do, like we were talking earlier, is to shift our view from no treatment or partial treatment and no treatment to full treatment and actually really try to recreate what we have lost with the ovaries if they failed, and to understand the importance of ovarian function and not allow the ovaries to fail in the first place. That's number one. We need to change our mindset towards menopause. And then we need to develop better products so that we can accomplish this goal. And that's something that can be done. It's not difficult to do. The technology is there. We just have to get the pharmaceutical companies to make these products, and I'm very sure that women would use them.
What makes you sure that women would use them? Have you gotten emails and indications, and have you kind of done some preliminary research in this?
Well, I've been talking about this topic regularly now in where I live and in the surrounding area, and it has been overwhelmingly embraced both by the lay community and the medical community. And I regularly help physicians write prescriptions to help women try to recreate that ovarian balance, because women know, particularly women who have gone through ovarian failure, they know what it's like to live with this condition. And when I say this condition, it actually is a medical condition called hypogonadism. And I would like to see our culture, our society, treat hypogonadism. It is an actual medical condition. And so regularly I have women contact me via email, or they talk to me after I give talks, and I have doctors contact me regularly who want to know how to do this, because they recognize the health benefits of it. And then when they do go ahead and do this, they contact me again and they tell me how much better they feel, how much more productive they are, how much better the relationships are. And so it's been very rewarding to see that this actually is going to be embraced, and the logic of it is reasonable, and a lot of people are using it.
So what seems to be happening then is through your, I'm assuming that people get in touch with you through your website, the preventingmenopause.com website.
Yes.
And so through your website, which by the way has a lot of information and also information on the book, you're basically hearing from women who have had good experiences and good results, but also doctors who are really interested in helping their patients in those ways. So you're actually seeing almost a grassroots movement become born. Is that?
Absolutely. And I'll say, too, half of my emails are from men because they get their wives, their partners, their women back. That's what they say to me. I have my wife back. And so I think that this is much more of a social issue than people realize.
That is really interesting. Without violating any privacy laws or anything like that, what sorts of things are you hearing from men? What are the complaints?
Well, one man, it was very interesting. He wrote me a very touching email, and he said, "I'm not mad at my wife anymore. For 20 years, I was mad at her because I thought she was rejecting me, and now I understand she wasn't rejecting me at all. You know, now that she has gone through this ovarian hormone balance program, and she feels more like her old self." It was a very touching email that I got from him. And I wonder if there's more men that feel that way, you know, that they feel rejected. Because I think what one of the misconceptions is, and it's very, very sad, is that we're told, number one, that it's normal. And then, by extension, women's partners are told that it's normal. And then you see this dramatic change, this dramatic loss, this dramatic disruption in people's relationships, and they can't understand, how can this be normal?
You know? So this is, I mean, you can just sort of, I mean, just in this one little, you know, small area alone, mm-hmm. it would also be a huge, it would be a huge cultural shift,
mm-hmm.
That cliche of sort of the older woman being left for a younger woman by her husband might actually begin to disappear because when the relationship starts to fall apart sexually, that is the point where a lot of men begin to stray because they don't lose their sexual lives the same way that women do.
Right.
So this sort of this whole notion of extending the life of our ovaries, as you say, you know, when you first start thinking about it, it could conjure up, you know, extension of fertility, but it's really more about extending that sense of how you used to feel. It's extending a womanhood feeling more than anything else. So that's very interesting. Did you notice a restoration in your own personal life after you began your own treatments?
Mm-hmm. I did. It was, again, dramatic. When this first happened to me, I lost all patience with my husband. I lost patience with my children. The joy of the life that my husband and I had built together was no longer there, and I couldn't understand why. And I got this overwhelming sense of loneliness, and I couldn't understand why. And the fact that my ovaries failed suddenly meant that I didn't have an opportunity to see how, you know, it could, relationships can slowly change. So I knew, once I knew it had to do with my ovaries, I knew that I had lost that ability to connect on that level. And once I did use my ovarian hormone balance, I was able to reconnect and get back to the life that I had before. The life that we built together is back now. And I think that bridge that's between two people, I think that bridge is in danger of not being maintained when both people aren't at the same place at the same time.
So one of the questions I have about all of this is when we prevent menopause, what is it going to you mentioned that we should be teaching our health classes a little bit differently. So what would be sort of the health message to young girls when they actually begin to learn about puberty and their cycle? How would the information be changing?
Well, it's what I tell my girls, because my eldest just recently, she's 12 years old, and I say to her, I say, as you get older, when you're in your 20s, you'll go to the doctor and you'll get your ovaries evaluated, and you need to take care of your ovaries because your ovaries will take care of you. As you get older, you'll need to do whatever you need to do to maintain your ovaries because they're very important organs. And I think that just planting that seed, putting that in the heads of our girls, saying, if you don't do anything, your ovaries will fail. And we don't want to see that happen because we already know all of the bad things that can happen with ovarian failure. So we want you to have long, healthy, happy lives, and this is one way in which you can ensure that.
Now, what about women who have, do you have any words of wisdom to women who have undergone surgical menopause or go through chemical menopause from as a result of chemo, that kind of thing? What can you offer them?
Well, understand that surgical menopause and chemical menopause will create the very same situation as what we call a natural menopause, that the ovaries fail on their own. It is the very same situation because the ovaries no longer make hormones, and it doesn't matter the reason, either surgical, chemical, or they failed on their own, the situation is the same. So if you want to recreate your ovarian hormone balance, you can do this. You just need to partner with your healthcare provider, and you can do this as well as anybody else can.
Okay, so basically they're in the same boat as all the other women who weren't able to prevent their menopause,
right,
including you.
Right.
But Beth, are you getting emails from young women that are under in their early 30s or under 30?
I do. I do. Women that suffer mostly from low libido, and they think they're in menopause, but they're not. But mostly women with low libido, and so we talk about that.
So basically, they may even be seeing. Is it possible that they begin to see early effects of sort of diminishing ovarian function as at that age, and that might be what's responsible?
Oh yes, yes.
Okay, I think we're just about out of time. I want to thank my guest today, Beth Rosenshine, author of Preventing Menopause, just hot off the press, and it'll be available on Amazon shortly. The book can be ordered in the meantime at the website www.preventingmenopause.com. This concludes the pilot season of Sarah Health Radio. We plan to be back for a second season in the near future. In the meantime, you can access all of our first season shows at sarahhealth.com as well as on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel at voiceamerica.com. You'll find shows on common conditions, uncommon conditions, as well as health topics you never hear about on the radio, such as this one. Sarah Health Radio gives voice to orphan diseases and stigmatizing topics routinely, and we look forward to bringing you more of these topics soon. Signing off for Sarah Health Radio, I'm Dr. Sarah Rosenthal, your host. You can visit me online at sarahhealth.com, and remember, you are not alone.
Thank you for listening to Sarah Health Radio. To contact Dr. Rosenthal or one of her guests for more information, visit sarahhealth.com. Tune in next Thursday for another hour of Sarah Health Radio with Dr. Sarah Rosenthal.